Look at the words of Jesus, as recorded by John in John 5:39. John 5:39, Jesus makes this statement to the Sadducees. The Sadducees didn't believe all the truth at all. They didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. Here's what Jesus told them. Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. He's saying the Bible testifies of me, Jesus. Now, at the time Jesus spoke those words, they didn't have the completed Word of God. His reference was basically to the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, if we fail to see Jesus, we are misinterpreting, aren't we? In the Old Testament, we see types and shadows of the reality when Jesus comes and goes to Calvary and fulfills all those types and shadows. So I want to go to the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, and we'll read a few verses there. Exodus means going out. Going out. It requires redemption out of Egyptian bondage. God's chosen people of the Old Testament, which were the Jews. They've been in bondage some 430 years. Pharaoh was putting harder tasks upon them, seemed like daily. And they cry out to God for deliverance. God sends an agent, Moses, to be the human instrument that God uses to lead His children from Egyptian bondage. Now, Israel is being persecuted, certainly by the Egyptian Pharaoh, and they cry out to the Lord. And you know, He tells Moses, I want you to go into Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. Moses did. He said, I don't know God. Who's His people? I'm not going to let them go. And you know how the Lord began to send one plague right after another plague. Pharaoh hardened his heart, and it came where God hardened his heart. And he failed to let the children of Israel go. But we come to the 12th chapter, to the last plague. And that was the death of the firstborn. So let's read beginning in verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now, Israel had a civil calendar, and this is the religious calendar. This shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, April the 10th, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. I want you to take a lamb on the 10th day. I want you to put it up. And on the 14th day, I want you to slay that lamb. So let's continue. If the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Now, here's a specification of the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood, strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, unleavened bread. With bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire. His head with his legs and with the putrescence thereof. You shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it. Here's how you shall eat it. With your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hands, and ye shall eat it haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And I want you to notice, it's the Lord's Passover. This is the Lord speaking, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. I will. This is a promise the Lord's made. I will pass through the land. It's going to be a death. Death of the firstborn in every house, mind you, of man and beast. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. You shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation. In the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. You shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in the selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at evening. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel, 2 side posts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord shall pass through to smite the Egyptians. When he seeth the blood upon the lintel and the 2 side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. You shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. It shall come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, according He hath promised, that you shall keep this service. It shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when He smote the Egyptians and delivered their houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. He called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord, as you have said. Take your flocks and your herds, and as you have said, and be gone, and bless me. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we all be dead men. I want us to think on the redeeming blood. Here is a beautiful picture of the crucifixion of Christ. This points to the time that Jesus would come and go to Calvary and fulfill all these types and shadows. Someone has rightly said the story of the first Passover is just an early edition of the gospel of Christ. And when you think about that, perhaps this is true. Early edition of the gospel of Christ. The order of the teaching of the passage of Scripture that we've read is very much the same as the first 10 verses of Romans chapter 5. When you study that and compare that. The Bible is a divine library made up of 66 books written by some 40 different men from all walks of life over a period of some 1,500 years. Most of these men had never seen or heard anything about the other, yet the Bible is in perfect harmony from Genesis to Revelation. Behind these human authors, there was God giving instructions. And that's why Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:15 that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say all Scriptures given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So in the first Passover, we have revealed the gospel truth as revealed in our Passover. What do I say, our Passover? This was Israel's Passover. They were to put up a lamb without spot and without blemish for 4 days and examine it, and then kill it on the 14th day and apply the blood as the Lord had so specified. Now, we find in 1 Corinthians 5:7, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The redeeming blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. I want you to keep that in mind, beloved. That's significant. When I see the blood, God said, I will pass over you. Now, there are several things in this scripture reading that I want us to note. As I see in these verses, I see condemnation, I see substitution, I see appropriation, I see confirmation, I see purification, and I see separation. I see these terms in the scriptures that we've read. First of all, let's look at condemnation. I see condemnation here. The sentence of death was passed upon all the firstborn. Look at verse 12. We'll smite all the firstborn in the land. That's from the king to the pauper. They won't any escape that. There'll be the death of the firstborn. Humans as well as cattle. This condemnation was upon the Jews dwelling in the land just the same as the Egyptians. Now under the law of God, all men are sinners. The Bible tells us this in Romans chapter 3 and verse 22, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what sin is, missing the mark. You can build a bridge across the Tennessee River, and if you lack 2 inches of being long enough, you've missed the mark. Sin is missing the mark of perfection. God's requirement is perfection. So all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin, beloved, brings the death penalty. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Death. People don't like to talk about death, but it's more real and more true than life itself. The very moment we begin to live, we begin to die. Physically, we're going to die. But specifically, this is talking about the second death. If you and I got what we deserved at the end of this life, we would experience that second death of being cast alive in the lake of fire and brimstone that shall burn forever and ever. But God intervenes in our lives, doesn't He? So we see condemnation here. I see substitution here, too. Every person condemned needed a lamb to redeem him from death. Look at verse 13. They shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Either the firstborn or an innocent substitute must die. Either the firstborn or a substitute must die. Why? The wages of sin is death. We're told in Romans 6:23, since you have sinned, either you must die or an innocent substitute must die in your place. I must die. That second death or an innocent substitute must die in my place. The Lord's going to pass through the land tonight. There's going to be a death in every home of the firstborn. Are an innocent substitute with the blood applied in the form of a cross on that doorpost and lintel of that house. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Lord Jesus Christ is the divinely appointed Lamb to die in our place. The Lord Jesus Christ is the divine appointed Lamb to die in our place. You recall in the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, Abraham carrying his son Isaac. Isaac said, Dad, we've got the fire and we've got the wood. But where is the sacrifice? The dad said, Son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a sacrifice. That's talking about Jesus coming later and dying at Calvary. This is why in 2 Corinthians 5:21 we read, God hath made Jesus to be sin for us. Jesus knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Is there any wonder that John the Baptist said, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So there's the answer to Isaac's question. John the Baptist, through the eons of time, pointed him out. He was down the Jordan River, preaching, There's coming one after me whose shoe latches I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. When he comes on the scene, follow him. He looked, he saw him coming. Consummating a walk between 60 and 90 miles. He said, There he is. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. 1 Peter 3:18, For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. That's why Jesus died. Jesus and He alone satisfied the just demand of a holy God as payment for sin. And I am accepted. I have been made accepted in the Beloved. When I see the blood, I'll pass over. He was not looking for Egyptians. He was not looking for Israelites. He was looking for the blood on the doorpost. He's not looking for my goodness and your goodness. What is He looking for? Looking for the blood. The blood of Jesus. That's the only way we'll be accepted in the sight of God. And he that hath the Son hath life. If you don't have the Son, you're dead spiritually. And you die physically, dead spiritually, you'll experience the second death of being cast in the lake of fire and brimstone that shall burn forever and ever. So we see condemnation. We see substitution. Now we see appropriation. What does that mean? What does that big word mean? To take for one's exclusive own use. Appropriation. So let's look at this. The death of the lamb availed nothing until the blood was applied. Look at verse 7. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. That's a form of a cross. Beautiful picture of what Jesus did for me. Beloved, the individual soul is not saved necessarily by the death of Christ upon the cross, but by the personal acceptance and appropriation of that death as the only grounds of our justification before God. How does this happen? Well, hear the word and believe. That's what Jesus said. John 5:24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Do you believe from your heart that Jesus died for your sins? That He was buried and on the third day He rose again for your justification? If you do, God has appropriated the blood of Christ to you, and when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. He's looking for blood. The blood of the Son of God. Only when the blood was on the doorpost was it between the firstborn and the avenger. Only when the blood was on the doorpost. Had they said, I don't believe that, and sat down, there'd been the death of the firstborn in the house of Israel. But they proved their faith in the Word of God when He said, I'm coming to the land tonight. There's going to be the death of the firstborn in every house. There's Pharaoh's oldest son. Dad? Did you hear what he said? Oh, there's nothing to that. Don't believe that. The time came, he died. He died. Yes. Only when the blood was on the doorpost was it between the firstborn and the avenger. It is by grace, through faith, that we lift up the sacrifices of Christ between our guilty souls and a sin-avenging God. And that's the blood of Christ. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. It's not your goodness. Not my goodness. It's all about Him. Jesus paid it all. And all to Him I owe. Ere since by faith I saw the stream that flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. William Cowpin wrote that song. How true. And it's all because of His love, His mercy, and His grace. There's not a one of us here today that deserves it. Couldn't earn it, can't buy it. It's a gift. It's a gift. Mercy and grace. What does that mean? Mercy means God withholding from us what we deserve. We deserve to go to hell. You do, and I do. But because of His mercy, withholding from us what we deserve. Grace is God giving to us what we do not deserve. Salvation, eternal life in and through the finished work of His Son. Not a one of us deserved it. Mercy, God locks the door to hell. Grace, God opens the door to heaven. Hey, listen, it's all in the blood of Christ, the redeeming blood. No. Those animal sacrifices, the blood that was shed in the Old Testament could not take away sin. But it pointed to one who could when He come and go to Calvary. He fulfilled the law and the prophets, the jot and tittle. Now, look at verse 13. We see confirmation. Read verse 13. The blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. When Jehovah God passed through Egypt that night, I want to emphasize, He was not looking for Israelites or Egyptians. What was He looking for? Looking for the blood of the Lamb. He was looking for the blood of the Lamb. The blood made them safe. The promise made them sure. The blood made them safe. The promise made them sure. Look at Ephesians 1:7. As Paul writes, in whom we have redemption through His blood, talking about Jesus, in whom we, true believers, have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. That's why Peter says, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot, without blemish, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Beloved, that's God's eternal plan, working out to redeem fallen man in and through His Son, Jesus Christ. And there's no other way for a person to escape the damnation of hell and get into the portals of glory. The church can't save you. Baptism can't save you. Your good works can't save you, nothing but the blood of Christ. It's repentance toward God and His faith in the finished work of Christ. Look at verse 15. We see purification. Verse 15. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Leavening depicts sin. Sin to be put away. Yes, leaven is a type of secret and hidden sins and must be put away. What do we read again in 1 Corinthians 5:7? Even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The blood of Christ not only justifies, but it leads to cleansing within. Think about that. The blood of Christ not only justifies, but it leads to cleansing within. And that's the reason we read in 2 Corinthians 7:1, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. How can that be done? Well, John 15:3, Jesus said, you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. In John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. When we feed on the word of God, it cleans us up. The greatest cleansing detergent in all the world is the word of God. In the Spirit of God. In Titus 2:14, talking about Jesus, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Does your Bible read like that? I want us to note 1 John 1:6, though. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. What's that saying? If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in the world, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. Let us know what the blood of Christ does. We're told in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. We're told in 1 John 1:9, if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does the blood of Christ do? It redeems from sin's penalty. The penalty of sin is that second death. We're redeemed from the second death. The penalty of sin, because Jesus has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Because of that, we're justified. It saves from the power of sin. That's sanctification. We were positionally sanctified when we were saved, but then as we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, it's a progressive sanctification throughout life. That's why it's so important that we study the Word of God, that we feed on the Word of God. If you've fed your physical body physical food as often and as well as you feed your spiritual soul from the Word of God, would you dry up and die? No, I'm not saying you can lose your salvation if you fail to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. It's sealed by the Holy Spirit of the Lord. But you can lose the joy of the salvation of the Lord. Not walking close to Him. And then the blood of Christ saves from sin's presence. This will be when Jesus comes and our bodies are raised. We'll have complete salvation then. Not until the Lord comes and gives us a new body will we have a completed salvation. But we have the assurance of a completed transaction. Now, as we conclude, we see separation. Look at verses 31 and 32. We see separation. He, that is Pharaoh, called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up, get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds with, as you have said, and be gone and bless me." Let's conclude by looking at the first five verses of the 11th chapter. Could we do that? The Lord said unto Moses, "Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak not in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold." And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servant, and in the sight of the people. Moses said, "Thus said the Lord, here's what God said. About midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon the throne, even to the firstborn of the maiden servant that is behind the meal, and all the firstborn of beasts." Now this is what God promised. This is what God brought about. And this is what saved Israel from Egyptian bondage. Beloved, that's the only thing that can save one from sin is the blood of Christ. Jesus was virgin born, lived upon this earth some 33 years. He went under the Calvary's cross and he paid a debt that satisfied God. And because of repentance toward God and faith in Christ, and these are gifts from the Lord, two inseparable graces and gifts from the Lord, I've been birthed into the family of God. And it's all because of what God has done in and through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He is saying, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." Welcome home. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed at Calvary. Father, thank You for redeeming blood in and through the finished work of Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, the One who loved us, washed us from our sins in His own blood. Thank You for the beautiful picture that You give us in the Old Testament of what Christ would do for us sinners. Die that I could live. Thank you, Lord, again for the blood that's been applied to my heart by the power of God when He birthed me in the family of God by giving me repentance toward God, faith in what Jesus has done. That's the gospel of Christ. How that He died for our sins, according to the Scripture. That He was buried, and on the third day He rose again for our justification, according to the Scripture. Yes, He was delivered for our offenses, but He was raised again for our justification. Thank you, God, for the assurance of so great salvation in and through the finished work of Jesus. How we praise Him today. How we rejoice today to know that there's a better place awaiting your children after a while. We acknowledge only pilgrims and strangers here. Many times we don't understand things that come our way. But we're so grateful when the storms of life break. We can fall back in the arms of the omnipotent God with assurance He'll work things out for our good. Such a way to bring honor to you. And Father, that's the purpose in living. Thank you for that reality in my life through the years. Search all of our hearts here today. And, oh God, if you see one that the blood hasn't been applied, would the Holy Spirit tender that heart and help them to see the danger that they're in? Just one step away into eternity. The greatest tragedy of all is to go out of this walk of life unprepared to meet God. It had been better never to have been born. Jesus said, you'll die in your sins. Where I am, there you can't come. If you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Help unbelief. Help doubt. Where there's doubt, grant faith. Where there's heartache and sorrow, I pray that you would grant comfort. Soothe the broken hearts only as you can by your Holy Spirit. Pray for our nation. Oh God, move on the hearts of our leaders. Help them to see the condition that we're in and the why of that condition. We've forsaken you. We've hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Impress upon their heart that you're God. And beside you there is none other. Bring them to their knees. They'll have to cry out. And listen to you as you say, come unto me. All you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest to your soul. Bless our soldier boys and girls, particularly, Lord, those on danger zones. Watch over and protect them. Bless their families as they're so lonely, so anxious back home. Impress upon all of us the need to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For the needs in our life. We thank you that you have supplied and will supply all our need for your riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. We pray for lost people. Should there be those here today lost, oh God, disturb that soul that they'll come to realize the danger they're in and be saved even today. In your name I pray. Amen and amen.